We were last time looking at Shlomo, right? Who he was, the fact that he was smart in a political sense. He managed to make sure all of his enemies were exiled or dead, which is kind of the way he had to do things. And then he asks Hashem, when Hashem asks, what do you want? Do you want wealth? Do you want life? He says, I want wisdom. It's not the wisdom he has of how to get rid of your enemies, but the wisdom to Lishpot Ladaba Tov Lara. So he is, we talked about the Dungeon Dragon, difference between intelligence and wisdom, right? He was given intelligence. He already had kind of the wisdom of knowing what to ask for. So what Hashem gives him is the chachma he asks for of how to be, how to judge, how to understand people, how to deal with the people, and then he gives everything else, including more wisdom, more intelligence in all sorts of areas. So this is the next paragraph. Shlomo, Utuna, he was given intelligence, understanding, a breadth that was greater than this, than the sea on the shore. And his wisdom is greater than that of all the Orient and of Egypt. And he was smarter than everybody, these famous smart people. And he became famous. And he said 3,000 mashalim, translated proverbs for right now. And he had 1,005 poems. And he spoke about, he wrote scientific treatises about the cedars and about the azov, which is hyssop, the pool plants growing in the holes in the wall. He talked about animals and birds and fish and insects. And then everybody from all around, all the nations around came to hear about Shlomo's wisdom, all the kings and all the governments that had heard about his amazing wisdom. And the things that specifically he writes, three kinds of things. One is the Mishalim, right? Shlosh Alafim Mashal, and the other is Shirim. So Shir, we have examples of, right? We have Shir HaShirim, obviously, that's one example. You wrote poetry as well. And then he had his scientific works, Al Yitzim, and Al Behemah, Al Of, and all that. We don't have those, as the Radak points out. Teva, and what he wrote in terms of science, Kamosha Omer, by Deber Al Yitzim, he talked about trees. Am, he talked, presumably, he talked about their nature, he talked about diseases, how to successfully grow trees and things. So too on the animals and the birds, remes, v'adagim, and the bugs and the fish, gilgal, everything that is in the sublunar world, as Aristotle would put it, anything under the moon, anything on earth, he knew about it. Gavrach, that he knew about it, sparim, and he wrote books about them. The inam nimsim, but we don't know any of them. We don't have any of them. So somebody's got
It's lost knowledge.
right. So I don't know what he had, but whether there's anything useful there in the forestry works of Shlomo, we don't have those. We have a cold book of what he calls. He says he maybe a shlosha of the mashal. That's what we focus on. 3,000 mashal. So what's a mashal?
I don't know. What is a mashal?
Thank you. That's a good question. So this is from Rabbi Goldstein, where he starts out. Mashal in modern Hebrew is translated as a metaphor, an image, a poetic substitution of things that are meant to be similar in some way. The Book of Mishlei is usually translated as Proverbs, which is a common saying that presumably has some wisdom to it. This is the way he puts it here. The Hebrew word for proverbs is mashal, but literally, Mashal is from the root of moshel, to rule. Okay, literally to rule by command. A mashal is a commandment, meaning that the Proverbs of Solomon are more than inspirational aphorisms or instructive illustrations. They are moral imperatives. These are meant, mashal in this sense is meant to be, here's how you're supposed to live your life. Not a mitzvah. He's not commanding you. He's giving you advice. But these are the rules. Life's little rule book. I think there was some book of that title. Fashioned in such a way that incontestable observations into the nature of the world compel us to take action by applying them to the universe of personal conduct. So they're mashals, they're short, pithy, we can remember them. And the images they create in us, they tell us, okay, this is the way to act. This is the right way to act. As the book of Proverbs does not stir us to take action in pursuit of wisdom and self-perfection, then we simply have not been paying attention. If you don't read Sifrei Mishlei as a lesson, this is how you should live your life, then it's time to go back and start all over again. Read the book. So mashal, a modern sense metaphor, but it's a moshel, a rule. Right? It's a memorable expression, so I can remember it, short psukim, and it uses poetics and rhetoric. We'll talk about what those mean. A sense of language that appeals to our heart and our mind, a fundamental truth about ethics. And that's the key, ethics being the right way to lead our lives. So the answer is, mashal is an epithet, is our word of the day,
What's that?
which is a short, witty, instructive saying.
Okay.
Okay, that is a word, was proverb literally is. Has the idea of commonly used sentence expressing popular wisdom, has the idea of common and popular, which isn't necessarily what we're looking for in Mishlei. It may be popular now because we know the book, right? But it's only commonly used because it's now in Sefer Mishlei. It's written as a book of apothegms.
What kind of word is that? Is that like Latin or what is that?
It's Greek. All the good words are Greek. We're going to have a lot of Greek words. Here's apothegm.
I'm Greek.
Etymology from the, okay, pronounced as epithem
Oh, okay.
from the French apotheg and medieval Latin from the Greek apothegma,
Yeah.
which is Greek for speak out. Okay, that's an apothegm. So that's a useful word of the day. So you can talk about the Book of Apothegms. Okay? So Shlomo writes this book of Mishalim. And his goal is to teach Chachma. And it's the Chachma that he's got given from Hashem. It's the Chachma Lahavim Ben Tov L'Ra. It's not the Chacham that he was before. That's Machiavelli's The Prince, about how you deal with your enemies and make sure they're dead. That this is not. This is specifically, this is the Chachma of dealing with other people in an ethical way. So Malbim says that this is that's yeah, what he calls this is the Chokhmah HaTorah v'Chokhmah HaMidot, wisdom of Torah, that's where it comes from, and wisdom of Midot, character, personal characteristics, and the right characteristics, the virtues. This is the Malbim summarizing. Hine, kol chokhmah yesh lo hatchala, that every kind of intelligence, I think every kind of science, every kind of knowledge has some beginning, some basis. Sheyada Tivada, that's through this that you know what's right. What's right? Those are the, that's the basis. Right. Handasa. For instance, if you want to learn engineering, Tivne, it's the principles are built al chush on the senses, on miskalot, rishonot, and first principles. Okay, we figure out what works. We observe. Science is based on experiment. Try things. And this idea, wisdom of Torah, that produces the wisdom of Midot, human virtue. That's mentioned in this book, B'Shem Chachma Stam. And that's what's called Chachma here. Whenever the Mishlei talks about Chachma, clearly it's this idea of Chachmat HaMidot. And I think at some point we're going to get another Greek word for that too. Hatchaloteha lo yivadu mofet ha-sechel k'nizkar el, that we don't learn it from just thinking. That it all starts from Hashem. We're going to assume that it starts from the Torah, our Shechina, that Hashem set up, v'gam ha-kakra, and that when we have to look into the, base it on the Kabbalah Hashem, and then look into it and try to understand it from the point of view of Torah, Chochmas Hashem. And the other side of that, as Radak says, is that each of these apophthegms, these little each individual statement, has lots of levels of meaning. They're poetic. There's a literal meaning, and that's the idea of a mashal. It has a symbolic meaning as well. As he points out, that the pasuk says that he had that Shlomo wrote 3,000 mishalim. But there aren't that many psukim in Sefer Mishlei. This is a Radak, Midrash, and we try to understand it. Chazarnu kol mikra'o. We went through the entire Tanakh. Lo matzanu shediber ela korov le'shmona me'ot psukim. That total number of things that you could call a mashal in all of Mishlei, you look through, you could put Kohelet in there as well, there's about 800 psukim. Not a small number, not 3,000. Elamahu by the bear shlosha afim. What it means is 3,000. Lameh shall call pasuk sha'amar, that every pasuk they said yesh bo shnayim v'shlosha ta'amim. There'll be two or three deeper meanings. You can look deeper into that. And so we're not claiming that Sefer Mishlei is nevuah. It's not drasha in that sense that Hashem spoke these words. It's not direct communication from Hashem because it's in Sefer Tuvim. It's recorded. It's divinely inspired. Okay, so right, that's what Hashem told him. Hinei lev. God tells him, I'm giving you a wise heart. These are still coming from you. So these aren't absolute answers. We're not looking for absolute answers. It's still a human being speaking them. And I like quoting the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam, talking about the nature of Nevuah. The Moreh Nevuchim is all about Nevuah. How do you become a Navi? How do you reach that level? He points out there are levels within Nevuah, ranging from virtually nothing, just feeling inspired, to actual Moshe Rabbeinu's level. So I need to mention to you, here are these levels of Nevuah. He goes through 10. But you have to realize that the lower two levels, what he's going to call of Nevuah, are not really anything you would call prophecy. They are steps toward that. And if you're at the point where you have this level of divine inspiration, we won't call you a Navi. And if sometimes they'll use the word Navi to describe such a person, it's more of a generalization. Karov is close to being a Navi in that sense of being a prophet. It's not. So Madriga Rishana, the lowest level of this Nevuah, divine inspiration, Nevuah. That Hashem helps you accomplish something great. If you ever get to the point where you have to give it 110%, that's a level of nevuah. Hashem helping you to get that extra 10%, do whatever it is. And we talk about Shimshon being full of Ruach Elokim. Translated as Ruach Gevurah. That's that lowest level of Nevuah. The second level, one up, that if you find person finds that in one particular area, Chalav, Koach, I think that's what it is, Koach Acher, he gets extra strength with Chadesh to be inspired to say something new. They wouldn't have thought of before. Yisimeo Daber. And you can say something. And I'll say things that are smart or praise of Hashem, like Tehillim, or words of reproach that are appropriate, or saying something in terms of halacha, how one should act, or spiritual matters. And this is something that the idea of a chiddush, that you have something that you never thought before. That's a level of Nevuah, we call that Ruach HaKodesh. And you're awake at that point. You're not having some kind of vision. You're not falling asleep. It's not a dream. It's you're awake, and you're totally inspired to say something. That's what he says. That's what Ruach HaKodesh is. You feel inspired to some kind of chiddush. And that's the way Tehillim was composed by David. Mishle is the same sort of thing. These are certainly with Hashem's help, but they're not the level of. So that's, we'll summarize that Sefer Mishle is Shlomo's real chachma, are divinely inspired rules for living a divinely inspired life. That's a short summary. So Shlomo is teaching us what we're gonna, what would later be called Musar. Sefer Mishle is the first Musar Sefer. Okay, and here's a nice little quote from, this is from Yiddish, right? No, my Jewish learning. That Musar masters recognize that simply learning about kindness does not make us more kind. Moreover, they understood that our inner drives, wounds, and appetites often manifest as Yetzer Hara, actively preventing us from behaving as we know we should. One Musar teacher, Rabbi Lopian, described Musar as teaching the heart what the mind already understands. So that's bringing us back to is what Mishle is all about and why we have Mishalim. Because it's not about having some kind of, a list of rules and we just run through the algorithm until we get the right behavior. It's got to be something you feel. And so when we learn Mishle, it's going to be different from Tehillim because that. What? Oh, sorry. Wait a second, let's get it back. With the healing, we can compare it to Life of David. We have lots of sources, Life of David. We have all of Sefer Shmuel. We have Malachim. We had Divrei Hayamim, and we had the introduction of a lot of these Tehillim that said, this is, David, Bishanot, Hamolif, Abimelech. We kind of, they were applied already in that context to so different incidents in the writings of David. We don't have that much about Shlomo. So we don't know how this applied, Sefer Mishlei applies to his life. So it's going to be much more on its own term, on its own terms.
We have no idea, like, when he wrote Shir HaShirim or when he wrote
There are
Mishlei.
different opinions in the Gemara about that. About Shir Hashem when he was young, all his wives, and Mishle when he was middle-aged, and Kohelet when he was old. Another opinion that basically he wrote them all right after he got this gift of Chachma from Hashem. It's not clear. They don't, it doesn't directly fit. There's nothing there we can put into his life there. So we're just more going to take it much more, not so much about Shlomo, but simply on its own terms.
How many, do we know how many years he was king?
He was king for 40 years.
Oh, so he was also king for 40 years.
Right. But he became king when he was 12.
Oh, okay.
He died really young, at least from
Yeah.
my point of view.
Yeah.
So it was in, I mean, David died at 70, which is not terribly old, but
But he put a lot in there between
yes, he accomplished a
building
lot.
his own house, building Beit HaMikdash. And then all this other stuff.
Right. I mean, 40 years is a long time. He started off. He hit the ground running. But in terms of
He
how we understand Mishle,
started on what?
it's like he hit the ground running,
Yeah.
all 40 years were full. But in terms of understanding Mishle, we're not going to be able to go back and say this applies to this. We're not going to see a connection with this part of his life or that part. Maybe we'll. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go along. But the idea is that we're simply going to read it as this Sefer Musar, as Hashem is giving us this gift. This is Hashem gave it to Shlomo, and then Shlomo is giving it back to us as this. I will continue. Go back. The next year I wrote here was talking about, going from looking at Sefer Mishle as part of Tanakh. Okay, Sefer Mishle is Musar, what we're going to call character development. How to be the best human being possible, right? It's a compendium of his advice, and it's all short, little, almost trivial verses. And the Ramachal makes the same point about Musar in general. Musar never teaches you anything you don't already know. That was the point before that. You already kind of know that you're supposed to be a good person and all that. The question is, how do you get to that point? This is Ramchal's introduction to Mesillas Sharim. Achibur hazeh lo chabrativ lamed livnei adam esher lo yedo. I didn't write this to teach anyone something they didn't already know. And this is a lecture I give to parents all the time about smoking. You know it's not good for you. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know.
Yeah.
Yes, you should wear a seatbelt, and yes, you should eat your fruits and vegetables and get any exercise. I'm writing, Ramchal says, I'm writing this book about Musar to remind people what they already know. And they know it well. Everybody knows this. This is not a secret. Because you will not find in most of what I say, we'll say things that everybody knows, and no one has a doubt about them. But you still have to go back and learn it, actually pay attention. This continues his introduction. Why we have to learn this stuff. Tirat. And you can see, im titbonin behove barov hola, and you look at what the world is like today. Kirov anshe asechel, that most smart people, amahir, that are quick-witted, they figure things out, bapichim, and they're open-eyed, they're aware, hacharifim, they're sharp. Yisimu rabit baranam, biskolotam, v'dat kuk hatachachmot, v'emek ha'iyunim, that they spend their time looking at deep things. A very complicated fine points. Ish kefi netiyat sechlo, everyone has their own field, right? If you're really smart, then you study your field in great depth, v'chashko ativi, whatever you want, your natural inclinations. Yesh shetirchu ma'oba mechkar briya bateva, there are scientists who spend all their time looking at the universe, at nature, kemit nu kol yinom l'tochna v'handasa, and there are those smart people who deal with technology and engineering, v'acharim malachot, and other people in work and practical things, and the trades, and there are those who are smart who spend their time in Divrei Kedusha, the Hainu Lumar Torah, meaning the Torah Kedusha. Good. Mehem Bipuchli Alachot, and there are those with there who spend their time Alacha, Mehem Midrashim, there are those who study Midrashim, Mehem Bipiski Adinim, there are those who study practical Psak Alacha. Everyone has their area they spend their time in. But but very few people, people don't spend their time trying to study how to serve Hashem. You think that comes natural? How you come to love Hashem, fear God, go close to God, what he's going to call hachasidut. Not being a chassid, but all those parts of being a good Jew. Right? No one studies that. It's his complaint. Ramchal in the 1700s. Not because these are ikarim Islam, not because these are not felt to be important fundamental things, because you ask any of these people that they're spending all their time learning Gemara, everyone agree that this is the most important thing. How we serve Hashem. But the fact that people don't spend time learning it, they rob pure suma devarim, because everybody thinks they know them. They're all well known. And they're simple. They think it's simple. So year lehem tzorech, because people don't think there's any need. Let's see, yunam zman rav. I don't spend a lot of time studying. So this is the idea that this ended up with the Musar movement in 19th century yeshivas, that they actually spend time learning Musar. Character development.
Mishlei is way before.
Mishlei, right. Mishlei is already 3,000 years before that.
Okay. Because that's pretty modern, I think.
What, the Mesillat Yesharim?
The Musar, yeah, the Musar.
Yeah, the Musar movement is, 150 years old. Almost 200.
I was going to say 200, but okay.
Yeah, almost 200 years old at this point. Right, putting that as a curriculum, but that's there in Tanakh. But it clearly had importance, and nobody studies it, so we'll see what we can do. So we're going to learn a little Musar here from the words of Shlomo. And the point being is that we already know what the answer is. Not going to tell us anything we already know. We've spent a lot of time reading the same thing, but it's still important. So, part of what Mishlei is that these are here terse apodictic statements. Remember what apodictic means?
No idea.
Okay. literally means beyond
That
dispute.
sounds like Greek to me.
It is all Greek. All the really good Greek, all the really good English words are from the Greek. Apodictic means, you can see, let's see, they're coming up. There we go. My definition, presented without justification. In other words, he's not saying why. He's going to say, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is what you got to do. Okay, but the
So that's why
implication.
you don't really have any like explications on these little sentences.
Right, their statement is
They're like
there.
self-explanatory.
They are, and it assumes that they are all right. And when you look at that, the fact that they're not. Like, life is more complicated than you can put into one simple statement about behavior right and wrong. So that's going to be an important part of how we look at Mishle. Okay, right? You know, so we're going to look. Mishle presents us with that there's a single correct answer to every question in human relationships, and that's clearly not true. We know that. This is simplification, and we have the famous joke about the two people come to the rabbi with an argument, and the rabbi says the first one and says, "You're right." And the rabbi listens to the second one says, "You're also right." And Jack Abramowitz says, "It's the gabbai here who says it, but I learned the rabbi's wife says, wait, they can't both be right." I've thought about this for a moment and responded, "You're right too." Everybody can be right there. But the point about Mishle is this idea that there is a right answer is an inherent part of its philosophy. Okay, I'm gonna have to look at what that means in terms of philosophy of Mishle. Because there are three books of Tanakh that have their own unique ta'amim. Tameh Mikra, the Torah has a certain style to it, and the same ta'amim that we have in the Torah are in present in Nach and Nevi'im, they're present in Ketuvim. You know, we sing them a little bit differently between Megillah Esther, Haftorah, and Torah, but the actual notes, the actual punctuation there is the same. The three that are different are Tehillim, Mishlei, and Iyov. And together, they're often called the Sifrei Emet. You heard that term before?
Not really. Are these are all in Ketuvim, no?
Right. These are all Ketuvim. Right. Basically, the first three books of Ketuvim, Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov, and they're called Emet, because basically it's Iyov, Aleph, Mishlei, Mem, Tehillim, Tav.
I got it. Those
Okay.
things are.
Mishlei Tevot there. And we've talked about this before when we started studying Tehillim. But what that meant to be part of the Sifrei Emet. Because they're called Emet, because they have meaning. It's not just the Roshei Tevot, but that what they have in common is that they are philosophical. And here that has a very specific meaning, because there are other philosophical books. We call them wisdom literature. Like Kohelet is all about, you know, what's the point of life? The way I understand is that the Sifrei Emet, Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov are different, because these are the books that deal. It's a major focus with the question, the fundamental question of Jewish philosophy, which is tzaddik v'ra lo, theodicy. Why do bad things happen to good people? If God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all good, why do bad things happen?
I
And
took a
there's
whole class about that, Danny.
okay, and you come up with an answer?
There was no one answer.
That's the point. So there are three, I would say there are three classical answers, and that's what these three books are all about. Okay?
Okay.
One is that Hashem's wisdom and plan is too deep for human beings to understand. Hashem is good, but we can't, we're just too limited to understand what that goodness means. Right? That's Iyov. God comes, Iyov, when you weren't there when I made the universe, you just don't understand what it means to be all-knowing, all-powerful, all good. The second one is that it's deserved. Right? Evil that befalls good, reward the wicked are just. Everything that happens is deserved. In other words, bad things don't happen to good people. Not if they're 100% good, right? Bad things happen to good people because of these sins they committed. And that is the opinion of Mishle. Flat out, anything that happens is because it's appropriate. You're being punished, you're learning a lesson from this. And the third, which is really what Tehillim says over and over again, is Gamzu L'Tova. Seems like a bad thing. We look at a broader perspective, you will see that I've been for your benefit, not in some vague Eov Jobian sense, but within the person's own experience. Okay, that's what Tehillim is, that Hashem, I will see Hashem, Hashem's re redemption. And obviously, none of these are the answers. There is no answer. They're approaches. The way of dealing with it, because we have to think about it, we need some way of going on with our lives, and we have to accept that. There's no one answer. But there are different ways that are appropriate at different times of life. How do you deal with it in your own life? How do you deal talking to somebody else? What do you tell them when things are not going well?
You tell me you're here, that you're sympathetic.
Okay, right. So that's one answer is not to try to answer at all.
I mean, because you don't have an answer.
And sometimes, but you need to, if you need something that the Gamzu Tova is, and again, it's an approach. The God's wisdom is infinite, that's an approach. The Yisurim Shel Ava, that these are your Yisurim that are response to something, that's an approach. And all of them are part of that.
Yeah.
Because nobody gets the answer. And that's a famous medrash about, I got about Moshe, right? Moshe asked Hashem, I want to understand how the world works. What's the story of Tzaddik V'Ra'lo? Hashem's
Is
answer is,
that when he asked? Is that when he asked to see God's face?
yep. And Hashem's answer is no.
No human can see my face and live.
So this is the Gemara Bracha reading that section from Kitisa. Moshe asked that I want to know the ways of God, but not Tanlo. And he's granted this. As it says, Hodieni not derachecha. And he asked for, show me your ways. Amar lefanav, Moshe says to him, I got it. Yibarash Olam, Mipnei Ma Yesh Tzadik B'Tovlo Yesh Tzadik V'Ra'lo. Yesh Rasha B'Tovlo Yesh Rasha V'Ra'lo, right? That good things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. Is there a plan here? What's going on? And the way Rav Meir reads that is that Shnayim Not Lo. Not Lo, two aspects of this he was given. V'chat Lo Not Lo, not to Not Lo. But one of what he requested wasn't given. So he asked that Hashem return, this is after the Chet HaEgel, that Hashem return to Bnei Israel, that Hashem be in an exclusive relationship with Bnei Israel, and he asked this one of Tzaddik V'Ra'lo. And Ramea says, Achat lo nit nat nalo. Hashem would not grant him that last request. As it says, that I will have grace on those whom I will have grace. Deserve it, and I will have mercy on those whom I will have mercy on. I'm not telling you why. This is what's you can observe what happens in the world, but you're not going to understand why. There is no answer. But we still need it. We still need some way of approaching it, right? We need to live our lives. Even though there's no one answer. Again, it's approach. So one of those approaches that's appropriate for some people in some situations, it's not absolute, and that's the frame Mishlei, is that bad things don't happen to good people. Everything happens for a reason, everything is there, every yisurim that happened are deserved. And that's the Gemara, Ein Yisurim below Avon. There's no suffering without sin. And therefore, if you follow the advice, you listen to Musar, then everything will be good. And this is a summary from Professor Grinz.
You don't know if it's in your time or it's before your time.
No, that's not Mishle. Mishle is right now. This is happening because it's what you just did.
Oh,
This is
really?
not a Gamzu Latova. Again, this is a very different way of looking at the Tehillim.
No, I just think of the thing that we read on Yom Kippur, where
Yeah.
the guy says he's going to kill the Aser Tzaddikim because of what happened with Yosef and his brothers. And God said this is declared in heaven.
Right. Again, that's a different way of looking at Yisurim, right? You know what I'm saying? It's a very different approach than what we're going to be looking at.
Oh, so this
This
is
is
still
going to be
in different.
simplified. This is going to be simplified. This is going to be you behave right, and then things will be good. And I'm going to tell you how to behave right.
But sometimes we just don't see it.
You don't see it because it's this is not all. Mishle is not always the answer.
Ah,
Sometimes
okay.
the answer is Eov. Is that the only right? That this is part of the 2,000-year-long plan that you're not going to see the parts of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the answer. Sometimes the answer is Tehillim, that we have to have faith that it will get better. We don't know why. But
Huh.
this is summarizing for, I talked about Yehoshua Grintz, who's a professor at the Tel Aviv University.
Yeah.
Enough. This is summary.
Okay.
Sefer Mishlei, who's Sefer Bitachon. Mishlei is a book of being sure. Bitachon Bakel is having faith in God, and Derech Yashar Badam, and acting the right way. Eretz Nitna Bi Tzadik, that the tzaddik will inherit the earth. Ein lo adam el lecha b'derech tom. You just have to act in the right way. The Shmor Musar, to keep this, keep all this Musar. The Shachar et Hatov, to look for the good. Lirat Hashem, fear God. Liot charut v'maaseh, be careful, be exacting in your actions. Eretz Nitna Lo, and you will inherit the world. That's the approach of Mishlei. The path is set before you, follow shalem lo, and you know exactly how to act, and for your descendants as well. Yesh ayin Sophia, there's an eye watching. Yesh mu'amet, there is an honest, true fate. The tzaddik v'rasha, both righteous and they would. Yesh seder misri b'olam, there is a moral order to the world, as it says in Mishlei, right? Tzaddik l'olam b'yimot, that the righteous will never fall, rishaim lo yishkinu ba'aretz, and the wicked will never be settled in the land. Right? There is no tzaddik for olam. So from this absolute faith, that we understand that the tzaddik is the one who does the commandments that we're calling chachma, acting the right way, the musar. Mateli bo l'tuna, who bends his heart to understand, l'mani melech b'derech tovim, to go in, he's going to go in the right way. Olakam gam hashavam yuchada. We end up with this unique equation. Etzem hatzadik hamiti hu gam hachacham hamiti. That being right, being a tzaddik means being wise, means knowing the right answers. Again, I forget the great Greek word, is akrasia, I think. Of that, can you, if you know what the right thing is, if you know what the right thing is, you can't not do it. If you're doing the wrong thing, then you didn't really know what it was right, and you're making bad decisions because you don't have, you have incomplete information.
Right, so Dan, that goes back to something that I heard a while ago, and I don't know where it was from, and I asked you, because this sounds like that in the Talmud somewhere it says the greatest wisdom is kindness. So here it's saying Besim HaTzadik Hamiti
Not
Hugam
MIT. Right. I don't know
Hamad.
that quote, but that's basically what he's saying, is that that if you have true chachma, then you will be a tzaddik. Those two go together. And if you are a tzaddik, then you must have this chachma, this knowledge of what the right way to act is. And we'll see that throughout Mishlei, he puts this equivalence between tzaddik and chacham. That a Rasha is the one who's a fool or is lazy. The fool kan, right? The fool is the opposite of the tzaddik. Now, he doesn't use the word Rasha a whole lot. Usually it's the avil, it's the fool. Someone who doesn't do the right thing, overcomes their best judgment. Maaseh chacham, he maaseh. So what the chacham does is what a chacham, someone who truly is wise, will do tzidkut, and the opposite is true. Derech avil hu etzem derech harasha, and that the fool is the one who does things that are wrong. As he quotes the Mishlei again, tovat kisilim sur me'ra, that the fools hate avoiding bad things, for which we could put both cigarettes, we could put donuts. We put a lot of things about the things that we hate avoiding, even if we know they're not good. That's a conceal. That's a fool. So you could say, Chachma, mara derech yashar la'adam. Chachma, in the sense of Mishlei, tells us the way, right way to go, be derech hatzacha, and that way we'll succeed. Mehem yitetesh al derech yashar azu, And what is it to be go? What is it to mean to go in the right way? The Derech Yeshara. That's what all Mishlei is about. But the underlying theme is that doing this leads to success. And
Is
it's a
this guy modern Yoshua of Grinz?
yeah, he I mean, relatively, he was one of the first professors at Tel Aviv University.
Oh, okay.
I think he's passed away. Let me search for him for a second. There we go. He's got a Wikipedia page, and here we go. Died in 1976.
Wow, he's pretty contemporary then.
Okay, I'm going to compare this to some of the other book wisdom literature, Book of Wisdom, right? Sefer Kohelet, which does not have that message, right? Kohelet is not about theodicy. It's not about tzedek v'rasha, ro ra lo. Not trying to understand that. It acknowledges that it happens, but it's not trying to understand it. But that's a Kohelet is about existentialism. What's the point of existing? What's the point of our lives if we're going to die? I do this and it's great, but then I'm dead and I'm gone, right? The universe is going to go on without me. What does that mean, right? Existed before I existed. The universe continues to exist after we're gone. So what's the point? Did you learn Kohelet with Rabbi Shulman?
I didn't learn it with him. No, I saw a little bit on
Yes,
my own, and with a chavrusa.
but you know, so yeah, so his it's that's on the shul website.
Oh,
A
it is?
couple
Okay.
of years going through that before he went to Yeshua. Okay, why he was learning Yeshua as well, and then went through Kohelet. But you know, basically, it's like a debate between these different arguments of, well, this is what's important in life. This is what's important in life. This is what's important in life. But the penultimate verse is the conclusion. Sof davar kol nishma. The end of everything, and everything you've been said and done. Elokim yirei, fear God, keep the mitzvot, ki zeh kol adam. That's his conclusion. Sof davar, that this is the purpose of life is zeh kol adam. That's why we exist, is Elokim yirei, mitzvot tishma. Let's go, Helen.
In a way, that makes perfect sense.
Yes, and
Because
that's where we
we're only here
start.
for a short time, how can we make our life meaningful, attach what's important to our life, to follow what's eternal?
Yes. So if you read the Lonely Man of Faith,
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
it's
so
been a while, but yes.
that is the message of Lonely Man of Faith, is that have become being part of the faith community is what gives meaning to our lives, because that makes it part of an eternal. So
Right.
the Sifrei Emet, the Iyov, Mishlei, and Tehillim start from that. So this is the conclusion of Kohelet. That's the beginning of all the other Sifrei Emet. We assume this is true. We know this is true. Now, where do we go from there?
Yeah.
Okay, that Chachma starts from Yirat Hashem. Again, here in Kohelet, Sof Davar is Elokim Yireh. In Mishlei, it says that Tchilat Chachma Yirat Hashem. Beginning of wisdom is Yirat Hashem. We're going to have to start from there. So we've already, Mishlei assumes you've already learned Kohelet. You've already gotten that conclusion. You're a nice, you're good from Jew. You want to be part of this eternal thing. How do I do that? That's the Chachmah. Similarly, Eov says the same thing. Yomer la'adam, God tells his man, and Yirat Hashem hi ha-chachma. That fear of God, that is what Chachmah is. And Tehillim says almost the same quote, Reshit Chachmah Yirat Hashem. The beginning of wisdom, that's Yirat Hashem. We're going to start from that.
So this sort of assumes, though, from the first one that that one was written before the other.
Not necessarily written before
That
the other.
Kohelet
No, I wouldn't
was
say written before the other. You could have
the.
written
How
a.
can you know it if you if it's starting from there?
Well, I think Kohelet describes the kind of back and forth that one might go through, but he might have, you know, I mean, when it was written doesn't it isn't connected to, you know, to the logical steps that one would take.
Okay.
And in fact, most people don't start from the existential question, right? You start from the Yirat Hashem because that's where you're raised by your parents to believe in God.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you start questioning and kind of go back, try to go back to first principles.
Okay.
It's not obvious that one comes before the other, in
Just
terms of
because
chronologically.
starting here, you have a certain assumption.
Right. But if this is, but Kohelet is the sort of the ethical prerequisite. We have to assume the Kohelet in order to start with Mishlei. Right? You
Okay.
start from Yirat Hashem
Yeah.
before you learn Musar. Okay? And that gets into the ex understanding of what Musar is about, ethical rules. Because ethical rules have to be tied to acknowledgement of a higher power.
Right.
Talk a little bit because human brains just aren't smart enough to figure out what our actions have, what the effect of our actions on other people. Okay, I can understand if I try to figure out what's going to happen in my interaction with you. I can do that with one other person, with two other people, in the next minute, but certainly not with 100 other people. I have no idea what's going to happen. Another generation, I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's classically Arne Dunbar, as a sociologist. You heard of Dunbar's number?
No, I don't know. I don't know Dunbar.
Okay. He's a sociologist that basically studied primates, chimpanzee groups, gorilla groups, and pointed out they have a certain size because beyond a certain size of interaction, right, you can't figure out what's going to happen and hierarchies break down. And just and all these little, so chimpanzee groups are like 30 or 40. That Dunbar's numbers is a suggested cognitive limit to the number of people with whom one can maintain stable social relationships. Relationships in which an individual knows who each person is and how each person relates to every other person. And he claims that for human beings, that Dunbar is about 250.
That's a lot.
Which to me, that's far too many. I think my number is like seven.
I was going to say that's really a big number.
That's a big number, right? But say once you get more than 250 people in an organization, it falls apart.
I would just say that this Dunbar guy, basically, he must have had a high social IQ if he could
Maybe it seems like a lot. Yeah. So
keep
he
track of
basically.
250 people and know what they're going
Right, but
do.
even with
Yeah.
that, it doesn't, whether we're off by magnitude, right? So you're a socially brilliant. You could handle 2,000 people.
Well,
The
that's pretty
problem is that
good.
there are 8 billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
You can't come close to figure out what the consequences of your action are. So to have some kind of ethical basis for that without some kind of overriding rules on there is absolutely impossible. So how do we get to that point? How do we understand ethics? How do we get rules of behavior? And I am going to stop here. We do have cartoons.
Cool.
We'll do that next time.
We'll do it next
Okay.
time. Sounds good, Danny. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I
Hey,
will.
Danny, where are you going?